It's the Sound Kitchen.
Mmm, yummy.
It's the Sound Kitchen.
Ooh, that sounds delicious.
You're listening to the Sound Kitchen.
Yummy.
And Susan Owensby's cooking.
Bienvenue and welcome to the Sound Kitchen, where you never know what you'll be served. I'm Susan Owensby. It's Saturday, the 29th of June, the 180th day of the year in the Gregorian calendar. There are 185 days left in 2024. Have you ever heard of the French explorer Jacques Cartier? I hadn't until I moved to France. It was on this day in 1534 that Cartier became the first European to reach Prince Edward Island, one of the 13 provinces and territories of modern-day Canada. Jacques Cartier was born in Brittany in 1491, and in 1534 set sail under a commission from France's King Francis I, hoping to discover a western passage to the wealthy markets of Asia. In the words of the commission, he was to discover certain islands and lands where it is said that a great quantity of gold and other precious things are to be found. He ended up in Canada, sure that it was Asia, bless him, and of course claimed the land for the King of France, and you know how all that goes. Instead of Asians, he met Canada's native people, the Iroquoians, and after their names for the two big settlements he saw, he renamed Canada's Gulf of St. Lawrence and the shores of the St. Lawrence River the Country of Canada's. Those two big Iroquois settlements are modern-day Quebec City and Montreal. In other French colonization news, on this day in 1880, King Pomare V, whose realm is now modern-day Tahiti, ceded his independent kingdom to France. Having become a colony, Tahiti lost its sovereignty and the subjects of the Kingdom of Pomare became French citizens. Today, Tahiti is part of French Polynesia, one of France's 13 overseas territories. It is semi-autonomous with its own assembly, president, budget, and laws. It has representatives in France's National Assembly in both the lower and upper houses. Here's some listener news. Be sure and look at the RFI English Listeners Forum Facebook page to see photos posted by Shivindu Paul, a dedicated teacher and the president of the RFI Mitali Listeners Club in Murshidabad, India. Shivindu is really active in the radio community of Murshidabad. He's always organizing various programs and radio meetups in his community, and he does marvelous things with his young students. So take a look. And thanks, Shivindu, for all you do for the radio community and the young people in your care. And a hearty welcome to our new RFI Listeners Club member, Tahmidul Alam Oren from Dhaka, Bangladesh. Welcome, 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 Tahmidul. Wouldn't you like to be a member too? If so, just send an email to english.service@rfi.fr and I'll get you signed up. You'll receive an RFI membership number, which you include with all your quiz entries, and if you win, you'll receive a premium prize.
Ooh, that sounds delicious.
It's the Sound Kitchen.
Erwan Rome is off planting flowers in the country, but our wild and woolly colleague, Vincent Porra, is here with us to mix the show today. Co-chef Paul Myers, also known as Baby Brother, is right here next to me. Say hello, Baby Brother.
Hello, Big Sister.
Hey, what's going on with the all the football matches? What's it called, this one, the Europe Cup of Nations?
Euro 2024.
Okay, sorry.
Yeah, it's Europe Cup of Nations. Yeah, that's kind of mélanges. Yeah, it's a good. That's a good mix. European Championships in Germany until the 14th of July. So lots of matches happening. They've just reached the last 16 stage. A few matches were took place, and the lineup is completed. So from Saturday afternoon, we'll have the knockout stages. That's where you get the penalty shootouts.
Okay.
So if it's nil-nil or 1-1 or 2-2 after...
And Mbappe played with his Batman mask, I saw.
Yes.
Kylian Mbappe.
He's got a specially constructed mask to protect his broken nose. So he's not just doing it to pose, it's to protect a broken nose.
Of course. But he does look like Batman. Okay, let's get on with the show, which is still to come. There is actually the quiz. Your answers to the bonus question on the Listener's Corner with Paul, not Batman, who has made a tasty musical dessert for you to end today's meal. So don't touch that dial.
You guys know what to listen on the Radio France International. The Sound Kitchen.
That was the one and only Vincent Porra. Told you he was fun.
Are you ready? I do hope so.
And so do I, cuz it's time for the quiz. On the 1st of June, the Roland Garros French Open International Tennis Tournament was in full swing, and our very own baby brother was there to keep you in the know. Earlier that week, there was a nail-biting match between Alexander Zverev and Rafael Nadal, the 14-time winner of the Roland Garros French Open tennis tournament. You were to reread Paul's article, Zverev sees off Nadal to advance to second round at French Open, and send in the answer to this question. What was the final score in the match between Zverev and Nadal? Paul, what's the answer?
It was 6-3, 7-6, 6-3 to the German. And, of course, it was a very, very emotional match because everyone thought it might be Rafael Nadal's last game. And Zverev, I've got to say, was really cool. He didn't get any fist pumping. He just did his business. He was the better player, and he got on with beating Nadal. And Nadal was very magnanimous in defeat, saying, well, and Alex nearly, you know, Sasha, as Zverev's nicknamed, Sasha nearly beat me in the semi-finals a couple of years ago, and during that semi-final he suffered this horrendous twisted ankle,
which one,
Zverev,
Nadal or
Zverev, which kept him off the circuit for about 6 or 7 months. So it was all very emotional for Zverev as well, because he didn't want his last memory of playing Nadal to be that twisted ankle. So, yeah, Zverev did well to get through into the
second round. It's nice to hear they were gentlemanly.
Yeah, but obviously there's an awful lot of respect for Nadal. I mean, you have to. Even if you don't like him, you've got to respect 14 French Open titles.
My mother-in-law was very disappointed because she said, oh, it would have been nice if he'd been able to go out with a win. Mabel.
No, it's a vicious business. No, yeah. No luck.
They're not that gentlemanly, right?
No, not like that.
Okay, what about the bonus question?
That is, how do you stay cool? You'll hear the answers later in the Listener's Corner, so please do stay with us.
The winners of this week's quiz are RFI Listeners Club member Sahadat Hussain from Kishoreganj, Bangladesh, who is also the winner of this week's bonus question. Sahadat wrote, it's summer now in my country and very hot, between 30 and 35 degrees Celsius. Many people are suffering from heat strokes. For this reason, nowadays many people use air conditioners in their rooms. But I do not use any artificial system to cool my room. I have a roof garden. The plants provide shade, so the roof is cooler. I also have two windows facing south, which I keep open day and night, so there's a cool wind blowing throughout the house. I think this is better than artificial systems. You are fortunate to be able to cool naturally, Sahadat, but I'm sure you know that. Congratulations on your double win. Also on the list of lucky winners this week are Raz France Mankongogo, who's the president of the Kemo Jemba RFI Club in Taramemara, Tanzania. Hello, my dear brother Raz. And RFI Listeners Club members Radha Krishna Pillai from Kerala State, India, as well as Azharul Islam Tamim from Kishoreganj, Bangladesh. Last but not least, there's RFI English listener Sadman Al Shihab from Naugaon, also in Bangladesh. Congratulations to this week's winners, and thanks to each and every one of you who wrote in. As you know, after the European Parliament elections, where the far-right National Rally Party trounced Macron's centrist party, Macron decided to dissolve the lower house of the French National Assembly and hold snap elections. And snap is the word. We'll vote in the first round tomorrow, Sunday the 30th. Candidates had only 3 weeks to regroup. Tensions are high here in La Douce France, to say the least. Of course, politicians are promising the moon to voters, but as France has a rather heavy debt, we were recently reprimanded by the European Union for it, one of the big questions is, okay, great, but how do you plan on paying for it? On Alison Hurd and Sarah Els' latest Spotlight on France podcast, Sarah examined in depth how the National Rally Party plans on paying for their program. She also wrote an article for our website, French Far-Right Party to Fund Policies by Cutting Aid to Foreigners. I want you to re-listen to Sarah's story on Spotlight on France and reread her article and send in the answer to this question. What has the National Rally Party said they will do in July to decide what they can or cannot do as far as their economic promises to the voters? If they win, they'll already be in charge, of course. As Romarie Godin told Sarah, this July plan is, and I quote, a traditional way to say we can't implement some promises we made before because public finances are not in order. Here's the interesting part. France's Cour des Comptes, the country's independent and supreme audit institution, publishes a monthly report on just that, so the information is there. Politicians and their way to turn a phrase. Again, for this week's quiz, re-listen to Sarah Els' report on the latest Spotlight on France podcast and consult her article, French Far-Right Party to Fund Policies by Cutting Aid to Foreigners, and send in the answer to this question. What has the National Rally Party said they will do in July to decide what they can or cannot do as far as their economic promises to the voters? You'll find the latest Spotlight on France podcast, as well as Sarah's article, on the Sound Kitchen page on our website, rfienglish.com, as well as on the Sound Kitchen and the RFI English Listeners Forum Facebook pages. Paul, what's this week's bonus question?
It is, what do you remember about your first day at your first job? And that was suggested by Mokhlis Uddin Mohallis from Bogura in Bangladesh.
So, baby brother, what do you remember?
My first job was in the kitchen at a hotel in London. My sister got me the job. I was a dishwasher, I was a kitchen porter. I don't remember much about the first day other than just learning how this machine worked. I had to load dishes into it, close it, wait for about 25 seconds as it was all this jet stuff was sprayed over all the dishes and cups and things. And I had to take them out when it was steaming hot and just place them to cool off. So that was my job as a kitchen porter. What I do remember, we had one character there who was in his mid-30s, it looked like.
Old man.
Old man. Because I was at university, so it was just during the university holidays. And he would ask you to do things towards the end of your shift, which would then take you over about 15 minutes and things like that. And I worked with another chap, and And we would always try and avoid getting caught in one of, his name was Philip, Philip's ideas for us to work longer than we should have done. And I remember once that Philip asked me to actually clean the inside of the machine. And it was about 10 minutes before I was due to go home. And he explained it all. And he said, oh, it shouldn't take you too long. But all you'll need is some elbow grease. And so I turned and said to him, OK, I'll just go and look for some. And walked out and didn't come back till the next day. My colleague... I thought my colleague was going to be really upset with me, but he said that was such a good laugh. That, you know, respect.
Oh, you Brits and your wit. What are they putting in your milk?
I don't know, but I told my sister this because obviously she knew the character and she just chortled as well, and it went round the hotel. This was like to get even with poor Philip. But yeah, that was one of my better lines. But that's what I remember from that job. It was a helpful job. And without it, I wouldn't have got my next job to become a waiter. And obviously, once you get your jobs, it gave me the confidence to try and become a journalist. So, yep, kitchen porter. That was my first job.
Okay, and kitchen porter. Again, to my American ears, that sounds so distinguished. It's quite different from dishwasher.
Well, I was kitchen actually carrying porter. The kitchen utensils. I was porter. Anyway, what was yours? What's your favorite?
Well, okay, my first job was at KMFA, a nonprofit public classical radio station. Mm-hmm. All right. And so I knew a lot about music. And I was good with Spanish and French, but I didn't speak or know Russian or German or Italian. Prominent languages for composers and artists, and you must pronounce them correctly because the audience knows exactly. And so, the first time I'm on the air, I have to play the Beethoven Triple Concerto, and it was performed by, are you ready? Pianist Sviatoslav Richter.
Yeah, I remember him.
Okay, Violinist David. It's David, not David. David Oistrakh. And cellist Mstislav Rostropovich. Oy. I was already nervous enough just talking into the microphone, but knowing the listeners might find me a complete idiot if I mispronounce these star artists' name, who everyone knew. What about you? What do you remember about your first day at your first job? Remember, we're always happy to hear your ideas for bonus questions, so please send them in. And thanks again, Mokles, for the suggestion. You have until the 12th of August to get your answers to the quiz and the bonus question in. Be sure to tune in on the 17th of August to hear if your answer wins a prize. As always, be sure you include your postal address with your postal code. And don't forget to let me know if you are a Miss, a Ms., a Mrs., or a Mr. I don't want to get it wrong.
Send your quiz answers to english.service@rfi.fr. That's english.service@rfi.fr. You can also text your answer to the Sound Kitchen mobile phone. Dial +336 31 12 96 82. That's +336 31 12 96 82. Always include your postal mailing address and, if you have one, your RFI Club membership number.
And now, more from and about you. It's time for the Listener's Corner. Take it away, baby brother.
Thank you. The question you answered this week was, how do you stay cool? Well, let's start with those who are really, really hot, our friends in India, where temperatures have soared up to 50 degrees Celsius.
I am never going to whine again about 30 degrees.
Well, Dipita Chakrabarty focuses on staying not only cool, but calm. This is what she wrote. I visit the swimming pool more often in the early mornings and evenings. Being the family kitchen manager, I have to look after my family members and arrange what they eat. I have cut down on meat and egg consumption, but increased the intake of fresh sea fish and curd as they have a natural cooling effect on regulating the body temperature and makes summers less hot. Having foods like cucumber, bananas and green leafy vegetables also help to fight the heat. Her husband, Jayanta, wrote, as you have rightly stated, the temperature in New Delhi is hovering around 50 degrees Celsius, the highest in 70 years. There's little relief, even at night. To protect myself from this oppressive heat, I usually stay indoors, close all the doors and windows from morning, and keep the fans running the whole day. I venture out only in the late evening to do my shopping. Yes, having a bath thrice a day is a great relief, though the relief is only temporary. I also drink a lot of water and water-based fruits like watermelons and coconuts to keep hydrated. Radhakrishna Pillai also lives in India, in Kerala state, where it seems the climate is much milder than in New Delhi. And here's what he wrote. To beat the heat, I drink plenty of plain water, eat a lot of fresh fruits and vegetables, restrict fried and all junk foods, avoid alcohol, coffee and all soft drinks, wear open shoes and sandals and loose-fitting clothes instead of body-hugging attire, and I schedule exercise for the early morning or late evening. When I'm out in the open sun, I use an umbrella or a hat made of jute or bamboo. Mohammed Shamim also lives in Kerala state. This is his advice. Wear loose-fitting cotton clothes, drink refreshing fruit juices, buttermilk and lassi, and take cold showers. Debashis Gope is from West Bengal, and it seems the temperatures there are also much lower than in Delhi, around 30 to 34 degrees. Well, that's still hot enough. He notes he is also careful to drink enough water and fruit juices. He takes cool baths, and he doesn't go outside unless he needs to. Maybe the temperature has dropped because of the monsoon. Shivendu Paul, who is a teacher, also lives in West Bengal, and this is what he wrote. During the last month, we had extreme heat, 40 to 45 degrees. The monsoon's here, but it is not raining regularly. Most of the rain now falls in the North Bengal hill area, Darjeeling and neighbouring areas. We only have morning classes at school during the extreme heat. We avoid hard work during the day and try to stay in the house from at least noon until four in the afternoon. And we're drinking lots of water and lemon juice.
It's pretty hot in Pakistan, too. Malik Momin Raza Kokar lives in Musafagarh, where the temperature is in the high 40s. He wrote, I shift my hard work from the hot hours of the day into the morning or the evening. Then I drink a lot of tea with lemon, not too sweet, and neither too hot nor too cold. Hey, Paul, I didn't know the climate of Cameroon's northwest region was so temperate, did you?
No, but we do now, thanks to Father Stephen Wara. This is what he wrote. The question doesn't really concern us in our northwest region of Cameroon, because almost year-round, we enjoy mild, temperate weather. Nevertheless, one little piece of advice for those who face serious heat problems. Choose lighter material for clothing for both indoors and outdoors, but yet that are of decent fitting and look, as well as having your fans and air conditioners working, which I take very much for granted.
Father Steve, those who have air conditioning and fans are quite fortunate, as you know. So many of our brothers and sisters live where there are frequent blackouts, so even if they did have them, it wouldn't be of any help. Señor Rodrigo seemed to like one of your tips, baby brother, avoiding angry people.
So let's end with our friend from Chile and his letter. Rodrigo Henrique wrote, I haven't thought about it from Paul's point of view. Hot-headed people's heat, fans, ice, lots of water, and I leave the windows open. I wear loose, short and light or no clothes and a hat. I stay indoors. Well, especially...
I hope so.
I say, well...
I hope so if you're naked, especially naked and a hat.
That's sinister.
How the neighbors would talk, right? Rodrigo, and Father Steve certainly would not approve.
Or in the shade, and where available, I turn on the air conditioning. Showers help too. Last summer, it's winter here now, it got up to 37 degrees centigrade in the shade in Santiago. And so there you have it. Remember, everyone, this week's bonus question, suggested by Mokles Udin Molais, is... What do you remember about your first day at your first job? Thanks again to Mokles for the suggestion. Do you have a bonus question idea? Well, if so, send it to us at The Sound Kitchen, all one word, no spaces, at rfi.fr.
That's it for today's Listener's Corner. Thanks, everyone, for participating, and a special thanks to Paul Myers for hanging out in the kitchen with us.
A total pleasure, as always.
This is The Sound Kitchen.
Okay, my friends, it's time to clear the table and wash the dishes. Thanks for joining us in the Sound Kitchen, and keep those cards, letters, emails, and text messages coming. Many thanks to our colleague Vincent Porra for mixing the show, and thanks to you for listening. Be sure and tune in next week for the answer to the question about Tiananmen Square. The Sound Kitchen podcast is ready for you every Saturday on the RFI English website, RFIEnglish.com, or wherever you get your podcasts. It's Paul who's cooked up the musical dessert for you this week. What are we having, baby brother?
We are going to have The Southern Freeze by a group called The Freeze. It's from 1981. Vincent and I were listening to it a bit earlier. It's wonderful. It's got the coolest woman as the lead singer, Ingrid Mansfield Allman. And when I saw her 43 years ago doing the Southern Freeze, I just looked and said, this girl is so cool. And I looked at it again a couple of days ago after being asked, and I was just standing there like her, like the 20-year-old I was. She is cool. Not spectacularly beautiful in the aesthetically formal sense, but she's cool. She is dead cool. And I looked at it and I said, she's cool. And it hasn't changed. And it's a great song. I was dancing to it as Vincent downloaded it, and it just makes me smile and cry.
Oh, wonderful. I have never heard of such a thing. It sounds perfect for the season.
For the summer, yeah. It was just so right. I love this song.
Okay, well, I really look forward to listening to it, and I'm sure everyone else does too. Thanks a lot, Paul. I'm Susan Owensby. Be well, do good work, be kind, and stay in touch. And remember, do not confuse human beings, our brothers and sisters, with their governments. Stay safe, my friends. Talk to you all next week.